I am so grateful to Jesus that he is real. You know, what happens though, we get caught up sometimes in the circumstances of things that are going on, and it sometimes is hard to see through the fog. You know what I mean by that, right? Through kind of what's in front of you, to see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, doing what? Making intercession on our behalf. Isn't that wonderful to know that he is right there on our behalf? He's saying, look, I live in you and I'm making intercession to the Father on your behalf. You have an advocate, the Bible says. That's like a lawyer. And let me tell you something. Jesus is the best lawyer of all. Because not only does he plead your case, he shed his blood and paid the price. So in other words, he's already paid the price for whatever you've done wrong. So then why do we as believers sometimes hinder ourselves from approaching God? You know why? We allow condemnation and guilt and shame to cloud the truth that Jesus has purchased a way for us to the Father. Church, it's time to shake off that guilt, that condemnation, and approach the throne of grace, knowing that you have access. Just approach him. You might say, but, and I get it. You're going to put the but in it. But I'm still doing this. But. Listen, take the buts aside. Jesus gave his life for you. He can't do anything more. So now it's on you to accept the free gift. Hey, it's Christmas time. Accept the free gift and walk in it. Allow Jesus to do the work he wants to do in your life. Some of you, even when you stood, you're like, but I don't deserve to be healed. You don't know what... It hasn't got anything to do with deserving. He gave his gift. We didn't earn it or deserve salvation, but he freely gave it. Same with healing. We maybe don't earn it or deserve it. You know, maybe we abused our bodies in younger years, and now we're paying the price now, and we're thinking, oh, well, God, you know, I did this in the past. I shouldn't have done it now. None of that matters. You're standing before Jesus right now, and you're saying, I need your help. And he doesn't say, oh, yeah, you did this. He doesn't do any of that. He says, okay. That's what he says. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is believing for the unexpected. That's a word that the Lord gave me. And the fact is that most of us are not believing for the unexpected. Let me tell you why we are not believing for the unexpected. Because in our lives, for most of us, the unexpected was not good. The unexpected bill in the mail. The unexpected negative doctor's report. You know, the unexpected accident of a loved one or a son or a daughter. I got one of those a few years ago. You know, horrible things. So when we hear the word unexpected, here's what the equal sign is. Bad. So unexpected equals bad. And so here I am now talking to you saying that we are to believe for the unexpected. And you're like, whoa, slow down the wagon here. I don't want to do that. I want to know what's going to be in front of my life and what's next. I don't want any unexpected things to happen. I don't want my apple cart to be upended. But here's the thing. Do you want your life to stay the same as it is? No. Then just don't believe for the unexpected then. And it'll probably stay about the same, give or take. But if you can come to a place of believing that God has unexpected things for you and that they're good, think about this. James 1 verse 17 says this, that the Father of the heavenly lights gives good gifts and perfect gifts with no shadow or variance of change. So that's your Father in heaven that gives only good and perfect gifts. Now, I don't know about you, but if I want to put God in the equation of unexpected things and all he does is good and perfect things, all of a sudden now for me, unexpected equals good and perfect. How many people want to believe for some unexpected things in their lives? You see, if God is part of the equation, it's always good. And so I want to bring you to a place today. I was praying about this saying, okay, Lord, I get it. You know, you've downloaded this to me. How can I share this and open up my heart? And the Lord said, he said this, there's four things that I want you to tell them to prepare for unexpected things. And so I want you to go to Luke chapter 1. There's a great account in there that shows us that something real big and unexpected happens. Amen? Luke chapter 1, we're going to begin reading at verse 26. And again, this is connected to our series of Emmanuel, God being with us. Last week, we talked about having joy. Don't get robbed of your joy. And that joy and happiness is different. That happiness can never lead to joy. But joy can lead to happiness. And so we want to pursue joy. But this week, we want to talk about believing for the unexpected. Okay, so Luke 1, verse 26. I'm reading from New King James Version. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is how, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Verse 38, then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So as we look at this encounter, this is definitely unexpected, isn't it? We've got Mary, you know, a young girl. She was betrothed to Joseph. And back then, it wasn't like an engagement of today when you were betrothed. It literally was a marriage in a sense. It's just they hadn't come together physically. In fact, if that betrothal was broken, it actually had to be a divorce that was done. So this is a big deal. She was committed to Joseph. Now, I don't know what she was doing at that very moment where the angel showed up. We get the idea she was alone. She could have been in prayer for all we know, you know, praying for her future husband, praying for God to help her in life, you know, praying that, you know, the Romans would leave her alone. You know, who knows what she was doing, but she was alone and this angel shows up. Now, can I tell you that there hadn't been many angelic visitations for a long, long time? According to Scripture, the word of the Lord says this in Malachi, that the Lord's going to be silent for some 400 years. So there had hardly been any prophetic words, hardly anything. God hadn't been doing much supernatural stuff. So you can imagine that Mary, when this event happened, she was a little freaked out. In fact, that word that says afraid, that is where we get the word phobia from. It's literally the same Greek word. And so this young lady screamed. You know, when it says afraid in our English version, it really doesn't do the word judge. It was like, ah, you know what I mean? I won't scream, okay? But you get what I say? It's literally, she freaks out because none of her friends have had this happen to them. You know what I'm saying? She had never heard any recent stories. She had heard all the old stories, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, angelic visitations of them and different things when, you know, Noah and Moses and Adam and Eve, all of those, but it was all ancient history. It was just history. No one she knew had experienced the presence of God through any way, angel or any other way. So for her, it was brand new. Now, I'm going to say this now because I think it's important in case I forget it later. Maybe God wants to do something that no one around you has ever experienced. But you said, "But God can't do that." Oh, let me tell you, those are fighting words to Jesus when you say he can't do something. Because he wants to do something. And he wants to do something unexpected in your life if you're willing to believe for it. And so here, the angel shows up. Now, I'm going to come to the first point of what God showed me. He comes to Mary and he's speaking to her and he begins to share. This angel, Gabriel, says, "Look, this is what's going to happen." And she's like, whoa, time out. You know, stop the truck here. You know, I've never known a man. And so the angel explains what's all going to happen. Now, you have to understand that her questions were not questions of doubt. It was just to understand. Do you know that it's okay to ask God questions? Here's Mary asking, you know, the angel didn't rebuke her and say, "Oh, you don't need to know." Nothing like that at all. God wants to have a conversation with you. He wants to talk to you. Just as this angel was talking to Mary, God wants to talk to you today just as clearly and just as plainly. And you shouldn't be afraid of it. Even though you may not have had it happen before, don't be afraid of Jesus coming into your life and being a part of your life. He doesn't just want to be your Savior. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your guide. He wants to be your all in all. In fact, the word says he sticketh closer than a brother. I had a really good friend back in early school, and we were friends, you know, best buds for years and years, and we had a spat. Everyone know what a spat is? You know, and we didn't talk to each other for years. It was horrible. And then finally, you know, later on in high school, we reconnected and are friends with him still today. Jesus doesn't do that. You could, now here's the thing. You can have a spat with Jesus. How many people have had a spat with Jesus where you got upset about something? Well, Jesus doesn't say, well, fine, if that's the way you're going to be, and Jesus just walks away and leaves you. That's not what he does. Guess what happens? You've had your spat, and you start walking, and guess what? Jesus just keeps following you around till you're done having your little pity party, your spat party, whatever you want to call it, and you turn back and say, whoa, I didn't know you were still there. And the reason why you didn't know he was still there is because you weren't focused on him anymore. But he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. And so we need to come to a place of knowing that he is always there, and he wants to converse with you. See, even more so now, you know, 30 years ago when I talked about talking out loud to Jesus, people were a little bit kind of freaked out. They're like, well, what if somebody looks in the car window and sees me, you know, my mouth is moving, nobody's sitting there. Well, everybody's got hands-free phones now, right? Yeah. Everybody does. And so you're having a hands-free conversation with Jesus. You need to talk out loud. Listen, this is a word that God gave me at the first service. If you have not yet, or you very little, pray out loud, you need to make that your default. In other words, I only pray inside when I have to. In other words, when I got people around me and I'm, you know, I just can't. I'm having a conversation, maybe someone's telling me something, I'm like, oh Jesus, what do I do here? You know, so I'm praying on the inside then. But when I can, I speak so I can hear. You know why I do that? Then I know Jesus has heard me. Sometimes when you pray those inside kind of prayers, right? You're like, I wonder whether the Lord heard me or not. But when you speak on the outside, it just brings that affirmation. You hear it and you're like, I know he heard me. And it's so important for that to be like that in our lives. So here's Mary. Angel says, look, this is what's going to happen. And she says, how can this be? I guess they must have had health class at their school or something, and she kind of knew how things worked. I don't know, but she must have found out, right? She goes, how can this be? And the angel says, look, it's going to be a miraculous event. Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will conceive that way. And then she says something, and this is so important. This brings us to our first point this morning. Verse 38, let's look at it again. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. This whole portion of scripture that we've read is an amazing picture of God's sovereignty and our responsibility, or our response, our free will, so to speak. So you have the angel shows up and says, look, this is the plan of God. This is what is going to happen. And then you have Mary saying yes. Now, what if Mary said no? What if Mary said no? Could she say no? Yes, she could have. You see, you and I have to give permission to God to do the unexpected in our lives. And I'm going to ask you a serious question. Are you giving God permission to do the unexpected right now? When you came to church, did you come with an open heart saying, Lord, whatever you want to do? Or was it when you come, you're like, okay, Lord, this far and no farther? I've been there. I've been sitting where you're sitting, and I've done it lots of times. You know, whether it be in worship, I'm like, okay, I'm deep enough. Here's my little line. I'm deep enough now. I'm good. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Rather than being all in, rather than saying, Lord, I just surrender to you completely. You know, in the natural, sometimes here's what we do. When we're partway in, we put one hand up in worship, partway up. When we're a little deeper, we go a little higher. And then, man, when we get a little deeper, both hands. Oh, that's a big step, right? And then we're finally sold out. Sometimes on the outside, it shows what's going on the inside. I'm just teasing a little bit. But, there is some truth to that. And so we decide how much we want to surrender. We have to give permission. See, here's the thing. I believe that this is basically like a signature on a contract, what Mary did when she said this. See, for the angel to even show up in the first place, Mary was already open. You see, you can't say, okay, well, Lord, tell me about the unexpected thing, and then I'll tell you whether I'm going to sign up for it. It doesn't work that way. We have to be open-hearted so that when he comes, we're ready to say, yes, Lord, whatever you want to do. So we already have a permissive heart to the presence of God. So Mary, when she said at the end, she was just basically signing on the line. She already knew the contract. She already was open to whatever God wanted to do. And let me tell you something. Her unexpected visitation was messy for her. For the next 9 months, and probably for at least 6 or 7, she's going to be showing a baby bump. You know what that means for a young lady that was not yet officially married back in those days? Can you imagine the talk? And then what if she tried to explain what happened? How's that going to work out? Oh, yeah. Yeah, an angel came. Yeah. Sure. Sure, we believe you. Never happened in our lifetime. Or in the last 400 years, never happened. But yeah, oh, sure, it happened for you. So you can imagine the condemnation, the guilt, the shame that was put upon her. You see, for some of you, to give permission to Jesus for his will to do the unexpected in your life, it's going to be messy. Are you willing to still say yes to the unexpected? It could be messy. Now, I promise you, especially you ladies here, it will not be a pregnancy, all right? The divine pregnancy thing happened once, not happening again, all right? So that's off the table. So ladies, you don't got to worry about that. But it could be just as much shameful in a sense, or make you feel very, very uncomfortable when the Lord asks you to do something. But here's what I do know. As I've read the Bible from bookend a bunch of times, every time God did an unexpected thing in a person's life and they said yes to it, they were always grateful afterwards. It was always good in the end. Might not have felt good at the moment because of the uncomfortableness of it, but it was always good. So let me take a survey right now. How many people are willing to give permission to Jesus to do the unexpected? I see most of your hands. Some of you are still thinking about it. I understand. I understand. You're signing up to a big deal here. All right, let's move on. Romans 8:28. Does anyone know that right off memorized? For God, what? Works all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, right? It's a great scripture. And what it shows me, and I hope it shows you, is that God works all things for good. So some of the bad, unexpected things, the things that we think are bad, God doesn't see them as bad. Now, I want you to understand something. The Bible says this, that everything that happens to you and I, everything as believers, filters through his hands of love. Everything. So that's what we would perceive as good, bad, perfect, not perfect, you know, all the things that we perceive. Here's the thing. In God's way of looking at it, it's all good. So let me ask you again. How do you look at the unexpected things in your life? You see, you need to look at it from heaven's perspective, from God's perspective. In other words, let's say it's bad, perceived as bad. How many people have had some bad, unexpected things happen? My hand's up, right. And so what's our first response when it was, oh, I can't believe this is happening. God, why is this happening to me? You know, that's kind of where we go with it, right? I've been there, I know. But here's how we need to approach these things. Lord, you know about this unexpected thing. How are you going to get glory in this? And how can I partner with you to see you get glory in this? See, all of a sudden, we got to understand that whatever happens in our life is good in the long haul. Now, it might be in the short haul, you know, in the short moment, we're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening to me. But God has a plan because he knows the beginning from the end. So whether it's perceived as unwanted, as not good for us, God sees it as good. If you have left your life to him, you've given your life to Jesus, everything that happens to you is filtered through his hands. Everything. Everything. Let's trust him. Amen. Okay. And that brings me to the second point. Give God your faith or your trust. Now, go to Romans 8. I want you to see the context of Romans 8:28. See, it's easy to quote Romans 8:28 and kind of pluck it out and say, yes, that's a good scripture. But let's see the context of what the Apostle Paul was saying. So if you go back to Romans 8, and we're going to start at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have had the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. When you look at the he in there, that's Jesus. In other words, here he is making intercession for you and I. And so as we look at this scripture, here's what I want you to hear. You can trust him because he's in you to help you to trust him. You see where I'm going with this? You're not alone in this venture, this faith venture with believing for the unexpected. But the Lord wants to reveal to you what the unexpected is as it's coming along. Maybe not all the details of it, but to prepare you. You see, God wants to prepare you and I for the unexpected. You know, it shouldn't be like, bang, it happened. I believe, and I want to see the tapes run. I believe that when Mary was in that time by herself, I think she had an anticipation that God was doing something. I absolutely believe it. She was seeking God. I believe that she was in a place of communion with God, and the angel came and began to speak to her. Even though she was afraid, even though all that was going on, I believe that you and I need to be prepared to know that God is there for us. Now, I ask you this. Have you given time for God to do an unexpected thing in your life? I don't know about you, but my life is pretty full. My 24 hours is pretty well booked up, right? We've got to give room for Jesus to do his miracles if we want the supernatural to happen in our lives. So just in review, right? God, we've got to give God permission. We've got to give God our faith or our trust. This next one is probably the most difficult one of all, but probably the most important. Go back to Isaiah 54. Now, just to give you context a little bit, Isaiah 53 is probably one of the most important prophetic scriptures concerning what Jesus was going to do on the cross of Calvary. It literally, 700 years before it happened, describes in detail the crucifixion of Jesus, that he was the Lamb of God and that he gave his life. It's an amazing chapter, and I encourage you to read it if you haven't recently, just to be encouraged that God knows the beginning from the end. And so 54, though, and if we're going to follow this linearly, literally there is a purpose to 54. It's like the next chapter, literally, okay? And so here, 54 verse 1 says this, "Sing, O barren, who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your maker," look at this, verse 5, we're going to finish with this. "For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. And your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth." What's amazing about this, here it says that God is your husband. In the New Testament, we are told in several places that we are the bride of Christ. And so there's a connection here that's going on. And so we have Isaiah 53 talks about the work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary and everything that he's done there, paid the price for us to have a relationship. And then it goes on, and this is what I want you to see. The first word, it says, sing. Now that word sing means shout for joy, means scream in exultation of who God is. It doesn't mean like, oh, Jesus, I think you're cool. You know, it's not like that. You're like yelling and screaming and just to your lungs, you can't scream anymore. You know what I'm saying? That's how excited you should be. But the problem is, it doesn't say sing because God has done all of this for you. It doesn't say sing because you've got all kinds of kids. It says this, sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. Basically, it's saying, look, before you got it, you need to praise him. And that's the problem for most of us today, including me. We're happy to thank God when a miracle happens, aren't we? It's like, thank you, Jesus. Thumbs up. Two thumbs up to him, right? You know, a little smiley face on our Facebook page to Jesus, right? You know, thank God for that. But here's the thing. Are we praising him before the miracle has happened? Are we praising him before the unexpected thing has happened? See, that is what God is expecting from us. Why? Because of what he's done for us already. In other words, God has promised the unexpected things. And so we need to position ourselves in a place of worship and adoration for who he is and what he's done already. So you're not even thanking him necessarily for what he's going to do because you already know he's going to do it. You're just thanking him for who he is. And that's what we need to begin to do if we want to see God do the unexpected in our lives, is to position ourselves into worship and adoration of who he is. Not what he can do for you. Just forget all that. He's going to do good things for you. He's going to do perfect things for you. But just for who he is. Amen. That he loves you. That you're now called his child, that you've been adopted into the household of God, that eternal life is guaranteed for you, that there's a mansion in heaven for you. You know, the list goes on and on. If he never does a single thing in your life from this point on, that's good enough to praise him for. You hear where I'm going with this? And that's how we need to be with that attitude. And then when he does something, sure, praise him more. But don't wait. Amen. Praise him and worship him now. So we have to give him permission. We have to trust him, and we need to start worshiping him before we even see the results. And then the final point, I'm not even going to read a scripture, I'm going to reference one. We need to give him space and time. We need to give him room and time in our lives. There's this amazing story in Luke chapter 8, and a story of a guy by the name of Jairus, depending how you want to pronounce it, but he was a synagogue ruler. And his daughter was really sick. And so he heard that Jesus was around. So they went to Jesus and said, please, you know, come and heal my daughter. She's at the point of death. And so Jesus starts walking back. And before he even gets there, a servant comes from the house and says, look, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter is dead. And the amazing thing is, Jesus turns to Jairus and says, don't doubt, only believe. And so they go into the house, you know, and everyone's screaming and wailing because back in those days when someone died, they had this weird sicko thing where they would hire wailers to come and scream and wail. I don't get it, all right, but that's what they did, all right? So they had all these people that were hired to scream and wail at the death of this young girl. And so Jesus comes in and he says, stop, don't keep wailing. She's just sleeping. And the Bible says this, that they ridiculed him. Because these professional guys, they know what dead looks like. This girl was dead, all right? And they're like, yeah, right, you know, who do you think you are? And here's what he says. He says, get out. I'm paraphrasing. Get out. And he said, make room, get out. And he only allowed the parents and a couple of the disciples to be there. And then he says this, little girl, I say to you, get up. Little girl gets up. It's totally healed, complete again. Amazing. It's an amazing story. Why do I bring this up? You see, for some of you, God has spoken to you. You've had an unexpected moment with God. And you've been carrying this promise. And you're wondering whether the promise is even alive anymore. Just like that little girl that was dead there. And here is the word of the Lord, what I believe is for you today. You need to give him room and you need to give him time. Just as when the promise went out to Mary. Mary didn't instantly have a baby bump. You get what I'm saying? It took 9 months before that baby was birthed. There's space and time needed for the unexpected to happen in your life and in mine. Are you willing to give God space and time? And I know we live in a microwave world. You know, 5 minutes is too long. You know what I'm saying? The popcorn's not ready in 5 minutes. Like, there's something wrong. But here's the thing. God may need 6 months, a year, 10 years. I remember when God called me in the ministry, I had a similar experience. It scared me as much as Mary probably. I was in my house alone in Canada and God showed up. Just in one word, it says, you're going to be a shepherd over my people. Just said that, boom, he was gone. I'm like, whoa, what just happened? I was freaked out. But I never saw really the fruit of that for 10 years. Can I tell you how many days and how many weeks and how many years? I said, God, where is this? You promised, what's going on? See, I wasn't giving him enough space and enough time. See, it's in God's timing, not yours and my timing. But are we willing to allow God to give us unexpected things? I promise you they're good things. Let's stand together. There's two groups of people here this morning. There's a group that already have had an unexpected thing happen. There's already the seed of a promise inside of you. And then there's another group that haven't yet got that but want it. So here's what we're going to do first. For those that God has made a promise to you, you believe God has spoken to you. In other words, you've had that unexpected moment already, and He's spoken. Just put your hand up to the Lord. Okay, so let's pray for you guys first. So Father, we see those hands that are up where you've already planted a seed, Lord God, and they're expecting. But Lord, time has gone by and circumstances have changed, and they're just wondering, God, where are you in all this? And Lord, you showed me that story from Luke 8 of that little girl coming back to life. And so Lord, right now, if in a sense what's inside of them has died, I pray for the resurrection to happen of that promise. Lord God, of that unexpected word that you gave, Lord, if it was from you, that right now, Lord, it would just come back alive again on the inside. And if there's anything that needs to be done on our part to see it come to fruition, that we would fulfill that part. Okay, you can put those hands down. For those that want to open their hearts to the unexpected, just put your hand up. Father, you see those hands raised now. And Lord God, they desire to see you do the unexpected. And Lord, they've heard that only good and perfect things come from you. And so they're not as scared as they were of the unexpected, especially when it's all filtered through your hands of love. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord God, for visitations of your presence, Lord God. I pray, Lord, for words of knowledge, for all the gifts of the Spirit to be engaged and operational, Lord God, that, Lord God, you would communicate with your people and bring them an unexpected moment, that they can believe for that, that all of us here can continue to believe for that. For, Lord God, you don't want to just give us one moment. You want to give us multiple moments, Lord, in our lifetime. So I pray right now in Jesus' name for just an opening of our hearts, a surrendering to you, to give you permission, Lord God, and that we would trust you and know that you are trustable, and that, Lord God, that we would worship you before we even see the results, Lord God, that our hearts would just be so open and thankful for just who you are and the price you've paid for our salvation, that that's enough, but we know that there's more. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then finally, we'd give you that space and time so that that miracle could work itself out until it's given birth. Father, I thank you for every single person here. I thank you for those watching online. I pray right now in Jesus' name for those online that as they put their hands up, whether on the outside or on the inside, but just said, Lord, I'm here. The Lord God, that signs and wonders and miracles would begin to happen even in their homes right now. For those watching, whether they're watching live now or days and weeks or years from now. Because this word, because it's from your word, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't change. Lord, let us be an expectant people, believing you for the best. Father, we commit all things to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you have any prayer needs, bring your mask up. We'd love to pray with you. God bless you this morning.